This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And one of the reasons why they should score more runs than last year when they were seventh in Major League Baseball is because they added Juan Soto. Now, I'm not looking to start any trouble, but Aaron Judge, I get the Aaron's confused, Aaron Judge did an interview during Saturday's Yankee spring training telecast on the YES Network with Meredith Marakovich. And I want you to hear the whole context so you don't think anything's taken out of context. Meredith asks a very straightforward question, and listen to Judge's answer. I heard it. I had to replay it, rewind it on the MLB app just to make sure. Did he just take a shot at Juan Soto? Now, you have a very independent mind, Tiki.
Yes.
Sean and Lugie, not as much, but they could offer a nice opinion on this. Tell me if you think I'm jumping to conclusions that Judge took a shot at Juan Soto. Here is the question from Meredith. And here is Judge's answer.
Aaron, we're just a handful of games into spring training, but what do you think of the team so far?
Excited about the team. You know, we got a group here that's motivated, excited to be back. A lot of new faces, definitely, you know, just around the whole, you know, infield, even outfield. But it's a lot of guys that, you know, wanted to be here in New York, wanted to play for the Yankees, and, you know, we're seeing some good results out of them so far.
Want to be here,
no.
Want to play in New York with the Yankees.
No.
No?
No.
No shot.
No, 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 no. Because he's, I don't even think he's thinking about Juan Soto. I think he's thinking about Bellinger. I think he's thinking about Goldschmidt. I mean, that's what it sounded like to me. That doesn't sound like, well, we got that one guy didn't want to be here, so screw him. Everybody that wanted to be here is doing great. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the guys that chose to come here, that are here now. Because that's all you can do is talk about the guys that are here.
Do you guys agree with Tiki's opinion that this is nothing to see here? Or do you think that Aaron Judge took a little bit of a shot?
I think it's both.
No chance.
I do think it's, hey, I know that Cody Bellinger
would be trying. Why would he do that, buddy?
Because
why would he do that?
He's already been asked now three times about Soto's comments about, you know, the Mets being closer to a World Series. And I think Aaron Judge is smart. I think Aaron Judge is never going to make a controversial headway, you know, take this on like it's a full-blown fight. And I think a little subtle way of saying that where it could be, you're sure I was talking about? I'm just talking about the guys we hear. I think it's his subtle way to play the media. I think he's smarter than we're giving him credit
for. Yeah, but what's the point of doing that?
Just to let, if Soto hears it, just to let you know, I see what you're saying, and I'm saying it back in my way.
Okay, but so, like, there's no, what is Soto going to feel? Like, oh.
Feel $800 million richer.
He's right. I should have chose to be with the Yankees.
That's Soto's not saying that. So
I
what's
agree.
The point of, and Judge knows this. He's not dumb.
To make Judge feel better about himself in his Yankee cap.
Does Aaron Judge need to feel better about himself?
Maybe.
Does
maybe.
He? Does he?
I don't know. Doesn't everybody need to feel better about themselves sometimes?
I mean, I don't know. But no. No. No.
All right. Tommy, did
he's
you
got a
see?
Second MVP. He's a superstar.
Yeah.
He's one of, not the face of baseball.
He's right ranked now as the second kingliest player in New York sports, which is pretty cool. Right. Not number one, but number two isn't bad.
That's right. Yeah. But what does he like? What does he need to feel better about himself?
No, I got you. I get you. Tommy, as I know, obviously come from a very different perspective, but do you think Judge was taking a shot at our guy?
Aaron Judge, the modern-day Nick Swisher, took a passive-aggressive shot at Juan Soto.
You know what? I changed my answer. He didn't.
That was dripping of passive-aggressiveness. Let me just remind Aaron Judge, if he needs the reminder, the only time you made the World Series in your career is with Juan Soto. Aaron Judge, much like Sean, much like Yankee fans, are going through the seven stages of Soto grief, and this is part of it. They just can't get Juan Soto out of their brain, whether it's the beard thing, whether it's the Sinatra thing, or whether it's the captain, and Sean is dead on here. Judge, you know what, Judge? Stop with this PR. Why don't you just say what you mean instead of being like Jeter where you're giving an answer, non-answer? How about you just actually say what you mean instead of being, you know, ambiguous with your comments?
So you think that Aaron Judge is mad at Juan Soto?
Didn't pick up the phone to call him. He texted him, and he got the, you know, blue text when it's an iPhone, got a green text. How about you find the guy's number and actually reach out to him? He picked the Mets, and Aaron Judge can't get over it, much like the fan base.
Or do you think he didn't care what John Soto's decision was?
Well, he better care, because the only time they made the World Series was with Soto, and okay, Soto carried his ass
right
there.
But they make the playoffs every year. But
okay, big deal. That doesn't
care.
Matter.
That's that man's business. I'm not going to get inside of it. I think that's what it was. I don't think, it's not that he didn't care, because obviously you want the best team around you. But Juan Soto's about to go make generational money. Forget that. He's about to go make, world-changing money.
Right.
Juan Soto's going to be a billionaire. He's going to make $1 billion in salary. Forget like, endorsements and all that other nonsense. Make $1 billion in salary. I don't think Aaron Judge wanted to be involved in it.
I think that Aaron Judge is very similar to a lot of athletes in this town. And I would include you in this as well. Athletes in this town who don't rush to give an answer. You think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you were asked questions, you thought about the answers. And they all had meaning. Sometimes positive meaning. Sometimes you're like, let me take a shot at Tom Coughlin meaning. And by the way, I respect it. I think Aaron Judge is very similar. I don't think his words are wasteful, if you know what I mean. Like, I think every word has meaning towards it. And I think there's a reason that why when he's asked a question, whether it's from Meredith or a Yankee reporter, he pauses. He waits.
Mm-hmm.
He has it kind of going to his head. Mm-hmm. And he says, all right, what do I want to do here? And I think that subtle wants to be here line wasn't meant because of all of the big things Tommy said. Like, I don't think he's bitter. I don't think he's upset. I think it was more, I'm the captain of this team. I am proud to be a New York Yankee.
Yes.
And much like his comments on the beard policy, we only want you if you want to be here. And so right. I think it and, was and, a little dig at Juan Soto for that reason.
But I would, that's the only reason I would disagree, because I think everything you said was fine, except for he's not taking a dig. He's saying, if you don't want to be here, then don't be here.
Right.
We're good. We're going to make the playoffs. We're going to give ourselves a chance to get to the postseason, and the guys that are here are going to help us do that.
Yeah.
And if you're not here and you chose not to be here for whatever reason, including if it's 800 million of them, you know what? Good for you, dude.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Good for you.
You're on your own ship right now. We have ours. We're charging ahead.
And you know what? Good
and
for
good
you.
Good luck to you.
Good for you also means
it means bless yourself in the South.
Oh, does it?
Yes.
It means something else. I don't know if maybe you were free Saturday night at about 10:30 p.m. It also means something very similar to what Cody Rhodes said to The Rock.
Whose side is he on?
Which was simply, go bleep yourself.
Exactly.
That's what I think it was.
I think Judge also subtly took a shot at the Mets, because he acted.
How do you get to that?
Because he said in the cut, he's like, only guys that want to be here in New York. Well, I don't want to give Aaron Judge a geography lesson. The Mets play in New York.
No. You know what he did there? It's a good collect that you got that. I don't think it was a dig at the Mets. I think it was almost, oh yeah, he stayed in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts by saying, anyone who wants to be in New York with the Yankees, almost to further
right.
the point of, I'm thinking about Soto. I don't think it was a dig at us.
I think he's being dismissive of the Mets, that they're nothing.
No.
You know, that's how I took it.
No. If he was dismissive of the
do
Mets,
you really think Aaron Judge would do that? I mean, seriously.
Jeter would.
Stop from, yeah, but I'm not talking about Derek Jeter. Jeter absolutely would.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to, from Aaron Judge's personality, do you really think he would do that?
Yeah, he just did it.
No. Can I correct you? Because you don't see it because you're a Knicks fan, and I get that. Mm. When a Knicks player like Josh Hart would take a shot at the Nets, you know how he would do it in the most disrespectful way? He'd say to Mikal, come to New York.
Yeah.
He wouldn't even refer to Brooklyn or the Nets because they're like not even a pimple on his fanny. If Judge was being disrespectful, he would have just said New York.
Yeah.
He clarified Mets because he acknowledged that the Mets exist and Soto went there. So I think it's a good call that he did that, but I think it's the exact opposite of what you think. I think he was almost like fully acknowledging the New York thing.
Do you think Aaron Judge, when he got the news that Juan Soto signed with the Mets, was shocked, stunned because it was the Mets?
No.
I think anybody would have guessed. I think Aaron Judge even would have predicted he's going to the Mets.
I think Judge got a vibe early on. He was going to the highest bidder, and he knows how, and he's heard the stories about Steve. I think he kind of surmised that's a logical place he's going to go.
And by the way, Hal didn't outbid the San Diego Padres either. Hal, like, talked them into, throw the C on your chest, whatever. I just want you to know you're wanted.
Right.
Great, I'll take a discount.
Right. I wonder if that was also part of it, was the money.
Hmm.
Soto got offered double what Aaron Judge is making with the Yankees and still turned it down and left for the Mets.
I don't think, maybe.
No, see, now that's just the fan in you talking. Like, I don't think it matters. And they're two completely unrelated conversations. Aaron Judge was 31 years old when he signed that deal.
Oh, absolutely. And Soto deserves to get more based on his age.
100%. I think we're overcomplicating it. Here's what it is. He's the captain of the New York Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
He is supporting his guys and his team. So when the beard policy was talked about and he came out and said, hey, look, if you really have a big, and I'm obviously paraphrasing, if you got such a big issue cutting your beard, maybe you don't want to be a Yankee.
Yeah.
I think he's doing the same thing. Like, we're the Yankees. Goldie wants to be here. Cody wants to be here. Freedy wants to be here. I'm sure Boone's going to call him Freedy or Maxi or whatever he's going to call him. Juan Soto didn't want to be here as much.
There really isn't an easy nickname.
You don't want to go with Maxi?
Yeah, because if you call the bump the pad, is it the maxi pad every fifth day?
Ah, yes. I can tell your brain was going there. Right, let's get to some of your phone calls on this. And yes, I promise, because I know I've alluded to it, and I know people really want to hear Tiki's opinion on this, so we will address it. How good or how bad was that John Cena heel turn? We will address it. In fact, the question's been posed to me. It's been posed to Tommy. It's been posed to all of us. Where does this heel turn rank in terms of all-time heel turns?
Whose side is he on?
So, Tommy, make a list, and we will compare notes, and I will tell the audience that at 5:15, we will rank our all-time professional wrestling heel turns. You good, Tommy?
I'm good.
Did you watch it Saturday?
Not live, but I did watch it.
So when you watched it, did you already know what happened?
No.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Perfect. You can't know. What?
I love you, too. John Cena heel turn, great. 5:15, there's a monstrous Ranger Islander game. What an insult to do wrestling at 5:15 before we ever talk about that game.
I was saving that for 6:15.
Oh, okay.
Right before face-off. It's a huge game tonight. I got my Islander sweatshirt on right now. By the way, speaking of the Islanders and the Rangers.
What happened last time?
The Rangers kicked their ass.
Sorry, are we sure this is a big game?
It's a huge game. Mm. We'll get into it at about 6 o'clock. The playoff implications are actually historical. But I was lucky enough to be at a Florida Panther game this weekend at a Meritetetetet Bank Arena.
All right.
And let me tell you something.
Scratching your sports itch?
Well, no. My brother-in-law is a season ticket holder. I was showing support.
Mm.
Let me tell you something about these Panthers, okay? They are in another league. We, as Islander and Ranger fans, we can't even look at them. They are they are fast, they are physical, they are strong, and they made a big trade over the weekend. Did you see the trade they made for the defenseman?
Did they get Seth Jones?
Seth Jones?
Yeah.
All they gave up was a backup goaltender and a draft pick. I mean, come on!
Look at you have cat scratch fever, huh?
Oh, yeah. Grrr.
Back on the fan on this Tuesday morning, and you alluded to it before, BT. So last night on Baseball Night New York on SNY, Andy Martino was back for the first time since it is about 3 weeks away. He was visiting the Yankees in Tampa, and then he went to visit the Mets in Port St. Lucie. I'm not sure exactly how much time he spent at each, but we did a little segment on, okay, what were your takeaways from Yankees camp? What were your takeaways from Mets camp? One of the things he said about Mets camp, and I was like, I don't even want to hear this right now. Like, come on, we're friends. I know you're doing your reporting. I trust you more than anybody, but I don't want to hear about it. And he said that Juan Soto misses the Yankees. Now, you could make a bigger deal of that, if you will, and I'd be curious to get your thoughts on this.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was more like, okay, well, yeah, of course he misses some. you know, he misses some of the guys. Yeah, you know, I miss those guys. I played with him a year ago. Like, yeah, I used to work with them. I used to hang out with those guys. Yeah, you know, I miss those guys. As opposed to like, oh, I made a mistake.
Uh-huh.
And I miss them and I regret signing with the Mets type thing. But I think people could interpret that many different ways.
Yeah, I that was interesting. It's a good little nugget in the middle of early March that can raise some eyebrows. I don't think it's a big deal here. I mean, first of all, who do we think were Soto's boys? I know he was tight with Kleber. Gone. Verdugo, they were gone. Why?
Booney.
Yeah,
remember, Boone did say he was close with Soto.
Mm-hmm.
And then we asked him also flat out if he heard from Soto. And Soto said, and Boone said no.
He said no. He said no. And listen, we know where and what Aaron Judge's mindset was during the process he laid out. So it's not like they were in constant communication. Like they were, I'm sure they have great healthy respect for each other. Although some of the things that Judge has said since, not that it was a diss at Soto, it was. Hey, he's where he wanted to be. Like, I almost got the impression that Judge had animosity strong, but not the best taste in his mouth when Soto bounced. Maybe took it a little personally, and that's okay. But they weren't boys, so I don't think he's, like, you know, fawning over not having one. I mean, might miss him behind him in a batting order, but I don't think that that's come to fruition yet because it's still only, you know, 6-7 games here. It's odd. I don't really know what to make. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. And by the way, even if he does, too late. He left. He's a Met.
Well, that's the point. I guess the... Okay, let me take off the broadcaster hat for a second and put on the Met fan hat for a second. Because that's where I was ticked off. I just don't want to hear that. I don't think Met fans want to hear about Juan Soto missing the Yankees as they're about to embark on potentially watching the greatest position player ever in the franchise history.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to hear that he misses the Yankees. Like, if I found out that Juan Soto was having regret, now, that's not what's happening here. This was just saying, like, oh, I'm missing the guys a little bit. Oh, I loved it over there. How they doing? But if I, as a Met fan, found out that there was regret, now that turns to, there's a different
You turn on your boy already?
Yeah. Oh, well, what are you kidding me? It goes from all the love in the world.
I hear you.
Like, hey, suck it up. I don't care how old you are, meaning, like, he's a young kid still. You made a big boy decision here.
Mm-hmm.
You had plenty of time. You had offers on the table. You had your family involved. You made a decision to go to the Mets. I don't want to hear about any regret whatsoever. I better not hear a peep out of you. You're getting $765 million. You're getting everything you could possibly want. You better come. And he's done this so far.
Oh, yeah.
Smile on your face. Happy to be here. I'd rather be no place else. That's all that I want to hear. Win a World Series with the Mets. The Yankees are in the past. It's okay to be like, oh, yeah, I miss Booney or whatever. You know, guys there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to hear. I told them I didn't want to hear it. I know it's reporting and you're doing your job.
You shut them down on TV. I didn't see this.
Yeah, I miss people too when I worked at Home Depot 20 years ago. It was fun. I don't want to go back. Like that.
Some of those stories I heard, I know you missed a couple of people.
That's a good point.
We'll keep it moving off that. Now, listen, if the Mets were sitting here and let's just juxtapose this a little bit. Like, and they're not going to be this record, but let's say the Mets were 31-45,
right?
And the Yankees look like they're on pace for 100 wins, and the story comes out, maybe a little buyer's remorse, you know, Soto peeking back in the Bronx. That's like if the Mets are awful and the Yankees are dominant,
right?
Which I don't think anybody sees happening.
I mean, it could.
Yet.
You know, you never know.
It's a stretch. Yankees aren't going to be dominant.
And the Mets
aren't
going to be awful.
No,
right.
the Yankees should be good. The Mets should be good. Both teams have flaws. Mets pitching, Yankees hitting a little bit more, whatever. But that's one thing. And I don't feed much into it. I truly don't. Like, I'm not trying to cause a flame from some little spark. I think that's not what I'm looking to do. But let me at least present this as a possibility. So in the entire, I mean, think about, we sit here and we probably in our own minds say, God, that must have been the easiest negotiation of your life, man.
Right.
Boris is banging down $800 million from everybody, and the Mets are throwing sweets and things for your family left and right. What if he really, and I don't know, I'm just asking, what if he really, deep down, like he wanted to stay in the Bronx, like he wanted to, but then the Mets just kept throwing stuff on top of it, and he's like, man, how do I turn this down? He got the better deal. Mets came correct with the deal.
But he'd rather have been a Yankee.
But now that he's there, and I'm not even saying that that's true, but now that he's there, he's like, all right, I got the suite, and I got a good team around me, but my heart was a little bit more with the Yankees than maybe I even knew. And I'm putting myself in his shoes in real time. Possible?
I believe that's 1,000% possible. Now, I don't want to believe that because it hurts, but I do believe that. And also, it shouldn't really matter. Like, I think ideally fans want their players to want their team. Hey, the Mets offer you the most money, you're going to be happy to be a Met. But there's a human part of it where, I mean, there come a day, let's just use you and I for examples, there may come a day where we get, individually or together, whatever, a better offer somewhere else. I never want to leave the fan.
I love it here.
I want to die here on the air. Like, this is what
don't
I want to
die on the air. You're a dick.
I mean, you might go viral nuts. At least, whatever.
Yeah.
But if there's a better offer somewhere.
You got to entertain. You know, it's business.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got a family.
So, and then you're like, oh, man, I miss those guys. I don't really want to do that. But you had the better offer. So that's the reality, potentially, for Juan Soto. Now, the reality is, Mets fans are going to get a chance to watch him. He's a Met. He's not a Yankee anymore. I don't care how much he misses it. But if it ever got to the point where it impacted his play,
that's not going
to.
He's too much of a pro. He's a surgeon. It's not going to mess with his head.
Well,
in the batter's
box. We've seen no guys. I'll give you an example. Jose Reyes, who was on the show yesterday.
He came back.
He's back.
He's been doing some TV work lately.
Yeah, really. What a good dude so far. I get to know him a little bit.
High energy.
Yeah. So, but he left. He would rather have stayed in New York, but he never had an offer.
Mm-hmm.
He never had an offer, let alone a good offer. Goes to Miami. I think there was legit regret, certainly after the fact that, like, I took all this money, but I'm not happy in Miami.
Yeah, yeah.
And that turned out to be a bad thing. Bobby Bonilla, the call brought him up before. Bonilla takes the most money to go from the Pirates to the Mets. And there was obviously regret. I don't care if he's from here or not.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mistake from both sides. I don't think that's going to be the case with Juan Soto, but let's not make it like it hasn't happened before.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, I will throw one log on this potential fire strong, but I'll throw a log here. And now there are different circumstances, to be fair to this story from Andy, and obviously to be fair to Juan Soto. But all right, so you can't help who drafts or who drafts you. He's with the Nats, you know, he moves on. Okay.
Right.
He's at San Diego. I think if the former owner didn't pass away, I think he was going to really offer him that money. Maybe he would have stayed in San Diego, but he didn't. Well, then again, he was traded not on his own volition, but they knew that he wasn't going to resign, so then they traded him, right? Then he goes to the Yankees. Then he, of his own volition, elects to bounce. There is some, I wouldn't say volatility, but there is a bit of a transient path to his career. In terms of just not staying in one spot too long. And I wonder, not so much this year, but 5-6, forget about the Yankees, 5-6 years down the road, does he get a little antsy staying in Queens? I don't know.
I don't know either, but the only thing I would say is the path has always been, at least I thought, to get the most money.
Yep.
Right? So it was not that he didn't love playing in Washington for the Nationals, or that he didn't want to be in San Diego long term, or they didn't want to be with the Yankees long term. It was that he kept chasing
the big carrot,
that contract, and now he's got it, and you'd hope that he. And by the way, he's a young kid.
Yeah, he's mid-20s.
You see him having fun last night in the dugout with his boys, with his new Mets teammates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I miss those guys. Not miss enough to call him or text him.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
He might miss right field a little bit in the Bronx. A little different energy out there.
We'll see.
A little different energy out there in the Bronx.
I got my tickets lined up for the Cadillac Club. We'll be out there in right field.
I've never sat there.
Really?
You're talking about behind the chain link fence?
Yes.
I got to sit out there.
We got to go.
I've never sat out there.
Jamie hooked me up with the tickets.
Okay.
You know, we love Cadillac here on this show. I
have one.
So, exactly. So we love Cadillac. And Jamie's been great. And she's like, hey, let me know. So
Jamie hooked you up.
You know, well, she did last year too.
She's tremendous.
Now, here's
really
the thing.
Cool too.
I was thinking, I was planning on taking my family. You know, to the game, to the Cadillac Club.
Opening day? Like which game?
No.
Oh, whenever
like,
she
is.
Okay.
I picked
a
date in June.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to pick I picked a date in June. Hmm. But maybe.
Seems like we could easily persuade you to leave family at home and take BT and Humph.
Well, I mean, Sammy's got to come. My wife, she can maybe say, just kidding.
Maybe I'll do something that usually doesn't happen. Maybe I'll just bring my daughter. And you bring your daughter. Little daddy-daughter day.
Now that
would be something.
That would be something.
She's 4 years older than Sammy. Yeah. Little kind of big sister, big cousin kind of thing.
Let me check with two people.
I got you.
One, my wife.
Yeah.
And then two, Jamie. And see if Jamie be like, hey, you know what? Maybe we get one more game or something like that.
Whatever. I'm always open for that stuff.
But it is cool in there. Because you get, and in right field now this year, especially in the Cadillac Club, you can get a first. Right there.
I can throw tomatoes at one. I get all over
them.
Up and close.
BT and Sal, the fan. Andrew's in Shirley. What's up, Andrew?
Oh, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
How are you?
Hey. I can't believe what I'm listening to. Not because it's you guys. You guys are great. But I know it's March 4th. But taking an Andy Martino, anything, I get he's your friend. It is what it is. putting any merit into his opinion pieces on what he's writing about, talking about, whatever it is, it holds no weight.
Well, hold on, Andrew. Hold on 1 second. First of all, let me correct you twofold. Number one, you said opinion pieces. It's not opinion pieces. It's reporting. Number two, you're an ignorant fool. I'm telling you for a fact. Like, this is me, Sal Licata, telling you for a fact you should trust Andy's reporting. If you don't, you're a fool. That's flat out.
Me and the rest, me and most of the Met fan base, which is completely fine, we've probably gotten this title plenty of times, we're all fools because we don't take Andy's reporting seriously at all.
Correct.
I'm going to follow up on that and say, why don't we just pay attention to the guy hitting home runs into the stands, laughing with his friends in the corner and stuff like that. They don't even have his new phone number. I'm sure the whole missing this team, missing that team, missing these guys is nothing more than you would say, like you said, about maybe your Home Depot job.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But then
why are you bothered by Andy reporting a fact?
I just can't stand all of his.
Well, tell me when he was wrong. Give me the example when Andy was wrong.
Okay, you know, aiming at a World Series is a bad idea over a 5-year span. It's just a bad plan, Andrew,
that comes from front office people, and thank you for the call. Now he's going back 5 years ago, whatever.
We're going about the team.
And the point, right, I don't think it was just Cohen. I think it was from overall saying, like, the team's goal. Teams, this is not the Mets or the Yankees, teams, front office philosophy, their goal is not to build a team to win the World Series. Their goal is to build a team that is can have sustained success.
In the mix, for multiple World Series.
And then obviously go win a World Series. Like it would be idiotic. Now, fans don't want to hear it. I get it. I'm a fan, so I understand why that rubbed people the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy got a lot of flack for this.
His mentions must be rough today, boy.
But I'm telling you, like, he's a reporter that is factually giving his reports based on facts and information that he gathers, doesn't care to give opinion. And in that particular case, he was probably talking to somebody, I don't know who, or maybe many people that were saying, like, yeah, well, you can't just build a team to try to win a World Series. It's impossible. But what you do is build a team that can get to the playoffs every single year, and then you hope to punch through. That's what they do. Like, you may not want to hear that. That's what teams do. That's the reality. So if you're going to be mad at anybody, be mad at the teams who are doing it, as opposed to the reporter who is reporting what actually is happening.
Well, go back to the Soto unhappiness or missing the Yankees. Misses the Yankees a little bit. I mean, to me, it's not a story now, but do you think that this, like, who follows up with this? Like, where do we go as we get into the deeper in the week and do national reporters start jumping in? Do some other baseball people start jumping in? Like, you think this is the last we hear of it for a while, or do you think this is just getting going?
No, I think that this, I really don't think this is a big deal. And again, Andy wasn't sensationalizing it to make it a big deal. I don't even know if he tweeted about it. I happened to be on the show with him yesterday, so I know about it, and it was something that bothered me. And I'm sure he got a lot of crap for it on social media from those people who watched the show, because, like me, Met fans are going to be upset. You don't even want to hear it. But it's not like he was sensationalizing anything. He just said, Soto missed the Yankees. That's because he talked to Soto during spring training. He was down there. And I don't think it was like, oh, I missed the Yankees. I want to go back. I had regret. That's not what he said. Just like, oh, you know, I missed those guys over there.
You think Soto should refute the report?
No, I don't think there was. I don't even know if it was much of a
story,
report.
Comment.
Yeah. No.
You think he owes it to the Mets to do that?
No, I don't think
not
so.
Yet? Okay.
I really don't think it was that big.
I'm curious. I don't think it's big now, and I don't think it's necessarily going to get big. Game start, he hits, Mets win, it's all good.
Right.
I am curious if anybody follows up with, like, even
somebody
just
might,
asks him, and, like, then what his response would be.
Somebody
be
might. Yeah. Hey, do you miss the Yankees? See what he says about that. You know, let him answer. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata, back on the Fan on this Tuesday now afternoon. Let's get in some calls here, BT. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We're talking Yankees. In case you missed anything, check out on the free Odyssey app. But it's been a lot of Yankees so far on the day. Joe is calling from Waldwick, New Jersey. What's up, Joe?
Guys, Hal and Boone, they should be the last team complaining about the Dodgers, about their payroll, and they can't keep up with them. For the last 30 years, the Yankees have been doing the same damn thing. They got anybody they wanted, correct? Anybody they had on their team, except for Cano, they kept. So what is the difference between the Dodgers and what the Yankees have been doing for the last 30 years?
They
should be the last team complaining.
Yeah, I don't really disagree. Is it a complaint or is it a... I don't know. I guess it could. I can see why some people would view it as a complaint, but it's also kind of contextualizing what I also forget about the Yankees is a broken economic model for baseball. Like I've said, for guys, dig in, enjoy this season and enjoy next season because the next CBA is going to be lengthy and there's going to be a lot of bloodshed. But yeah, I mean, maybe the only difference is that the Dodgers are getting all the Japanese players. You know, that's, but in terms of spending money, quit whining.
I don't think it's a complaint. I mean, if anything, fans should be complaining about what Hal said as far as him being reluctant to blow past the luxury tax threshold. He keeps referencing that, saying we shouldn't have to spend this much money. He's right. I didn't see, and maybe I missed it, BT being away, but I didn't see anything that the Yankees were complaining about what the Dodgers
did. It wasn't a complaint.
Yeah, I mean, if they did, come on, they can't. The New York Yankees can't complain about anybody else spending.
Yeah, and it's also something that, you know, House has said in previous years, and I don't fundamentally disagree where he has said very, very clearly, we shouldn't have to spend $300-plus million dollars to build a championship team, which I agree with, but when you have so much dead weight that you've got to work around to get some other positions up to speed. You got to work around the Stanton contract, right, the DJ stuff, blah, blah, things we've hit a million times. Well, it's going to get in the neighborhood of 300 just to have a chance to win.
Mike is in Mountainside. What's up, Mike?
Be better at business.
What's up? What's up, guys? Big fan of the show, as you guys know. I just want to talk about the Yankees, and I think this is, even though it's a terrible thing happened to Heal, but it's a perfect situation. Get Stroman out there to pitch and show what he needs. I think he needs 140-something innings to get a bonus.
He does. He does.
Let him pitch and let him see if he can add any trade value for us when we need to get that back because we know we're going to need a bat probably midway through the season, right?
Yeah.
Let him pitch. Let him show. Let him see what's going on, and that's something we need. And my second point.
Well, hold on. But before you jump into point number two, point number one might be a little flawed here. So I get it. Without Luis Gil, you're going to need Marcus Stroman to step up. We all know that. But if he is in a position, say if the Yankees want to trade him, and they are talking to a few teams that could use him, say Luis Gil comes back, and Stroman's made, you know, 13, 15, 18 starts in his absence, and he's trending toward 140 innings limit, why would a small market team like the Reds or the Pirates or the Brewers, who don't want to pay him next year, and they would have to if he blows by 140? Why would anybody sign up for that?
No, I understand that, but I don't think a small market team is going to want to get him. And do they have a bat that we need there in those small market teams? You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know if a big market team's going to want to pay Stroman, you know, $18 million next season. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
I can see that point.
Okay.
I can see that point. But,
I got you.
But my second point is there is so much negativity. I don't know about you guys, but it's like 50 degrees here in New Jersey. It's baseball time. Good teams on both sides, the Yankees and the Mets. And I'm just excited for baseball. You know what I mean? I'm so excited. I can't wait. I know there's so much negativity going on with all the injuries, but listen, guys, it's baseball season, baby. Let's go, Yankees. Here we go. Let's go, Yankees.
Yeah. Well, there you go, Mike.
Boy, Mike.
Nobody's trying to be negative, but we are trying to be realistic. And I do think there's a part, BT. Well, we're both extremely excited. I cannot wait for baseball season. Like, I'll be into the Johnnies, obviously not as much as you, BT, although I now am part of the family.
Yeah, as Rick told you yesterday here on the show, Rick Pitino.
All kidding aside, I'm really into the Big East tournament, and I'm going to look forward. And now, look, next week we get NFL free agency. We'll be into that. Like, we love sports, so we all get into all the aspects of it. NFL free agency, Big East tournament, NCAA tournament. Yeah, the draft coming up. But baseball season is special because once it gets underway, you know it's your companion for the next six, 7 months.
I love it.
And it's there pretty much every night for you. And we get the two teams that are both supposed to be pretty good. But we also do shows 5 days a week. And you can't just say, you can't turn on the mic and go, hey, you know what? It's almost baseball season. Go Yanks. Go Mets. Like, you actually have to look at it and break it down in certain ways, just in a fan conversation. And I think it's fair to say, hey, maybe we're putting the cart before the horse here with the Yankees a little bit. Yeah, the landscape of the American League. Yeah, the AL East doesn't look as maybe daunting as it might have been in years past. But things have already gone wrong for this Yankee team. They're not deep to begin with. I think you can have legitimate concerns about a team that's expected to go out there and get to or win a World Series.
And that's what we've said. You know, Yankee fans might not like what, especially maybe coming from me as a Yankee fan.
Right.
That's the way it's going to be. I think they've got a lot of issues. Now, I think that they could be, I think they're going to be a playoff team, but to just, you know, ignore those issues is irresponsible. It's not why we're here. But to your point about the start of the season, And maybe because it's so statistically oriented, unlike any other sport, quarterbacks, well, maybe he throws for 30 touchdowns or 2,000 yards. Like, there are some parameters, but nothing's like baseball statistically. And just the aesthetics of the field and just your companion, as you said, and you're right. Like, I love the first month when guys are just collecting those first 20, 25, 30 at-bats, see who's off to a good start, see who's cold, you know, see who put on a few pounds of muscle, the young kids, how they look, and coming home, if there's an early Yankee, like us getting off the show, me getting home generally before I have practice for my kids, but like there's a day game, and whether it's the Yanks or the Mets, pop it on, a few innings, sit on the couch, and just, it's April, it's early May, it's not warm, but it's not chilly. There's nothing like it. And then you fall asleep to it. I absolutely love it.
Can't get enough of baseball season. Looking forward to it. All right, 888-808-1019. Mitchell's in Fort Lee. Now, remember, BT, I said Mitchell. He was disheveled last night at the Ranger game, Rangers Islander game. What's on your mind today, Mitch?
Bitch.
Good morning, guys. Hey, BT, how are you?
What's
first
up, buddy?
Out, let's put down one thing here. I lost 65 pounds.
65?
The winter's over, and I'm not going to buy new clothes, but I look fine. I had a pair of jeans on, a nice shirt. That's number one.
What size jeans were those that you were wearing last night?
So I will discuss it off the air, not on the air.
You're bringing it up. Are they not? Now, you lost weight, and congratulations. You look great losing the weight, but you're still wearing the same clothes you were wearing before, right?
No, these are different jeans. These are different jeans.
Well, so wait, hold on, Mitch. Let me do a little probe here. So, and I met you once, and we had a great time at the Saturday Night. He's a great dude.
That was
great.
An all-time night. Mitch is the man.
Yeah, he's a great guy. And I talked to him actually about some other stuff, like off the air. I don't know, because you were sitting most of the... How tall are you exactly, Mitch?
5'7".
All right, 5'7".
Smaller guy.
And you lost 65. What do you weigh now?
I'm about 218.
All right, so you were about in the 290-ish area.
Yep.
5'7", 290. I mean, I'm going to say that waist ought to be about 42. Is that a fair neighborhood?
Roughly. But so, now we're down. We lost a few waistbands on it.
So no, understood. I respect that. I think that's awesome. God bless you and good for you sincerely. But if you were at 42-ish and you've dropped 65, you probably at least need a 38. Like, that's got you. You've got to make some changes, I think, is what Sal's saying.
I did. That's the other jeans. When I gained weight, I had them on 38s. I actually had 38s, but I'm getting close to 36.
You went from 38 to a 42? You let that happen? What the hell were you doing?
Mitch, all good. I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm just saying, you know, the clothes. You've done a good job outgrowing those clothes, those old clothes. Anyway.
BT, I got divorced. Things happened.
Got it.
Another day off the air. Okay,
I would think you'd want to be nice and thin for the other women you might meet out there on the market, buddy.
Hey, BT, remember one thing. When we go to the Yankee game, you'll see a big difference on the Mets and Yankees when we sit front row in section 107.
What size Soto shirt can I get you, Mitch?
I know he's got broad shoulders. I know that.
Give me a large. He goes. All right, what do you want to say about the crowd real quick?
Okay, so last night, going to the game, it was unbelievable. It was a big game for the Rangers last night. And when we were there, me, Sal, BT, Hoffman and his Sal's nephew and his... Okay. The point was, the crowd was dead. They were just completely dead. There was no juice into it. It was like going to a St. John's game when they're just playing and there's no crowd. It's not big. But last night there was no crowd, not at all. Sal's the only one who had to start making some let's go Rangers, and we couldn't get a chant going there either.
Yeah.
But the Rangers, they just played flat.
And I was booing. Right now, I don't know if you noticed, Mitchell. And thank you for the call as always. We appreciate you checking in. I was booing some of the Islander fans. There was an idiot Islander fan in the crowd with a Tony D'Angelo jersey. I don't know if you know the history about him. Former Ranger, said some horrible things. Not a good guy. They used to boo him every time he touched the puck, even with Carolina. Mm-hmm. They were doing the same thing last night. But there's somebody in the crowd actually had the gall to wear a Tony D'Angelo Islanders jersey. So if he stood up, I would boo him, scared the crap out of the people in front of me, of course. And we were up in the blues. I mean, Mitch, my nose is still bleeding, for goodness sake. You hooked us up with these seats. I paid. $185, by the way.
In the Blues?
Yeah.
$185?
Rangers Islanders.
That's true.
His point, I want to take my nephew to the Rangers Islanders. He asked, so I was like, okay. Now, by the way, I didn't even pay. My brother-in-law paid for his ticket and for my nephew's ticket, and I paid for my own. Mm-hmm. But still, nearly $200, you're sitting up in a, 200 section, 15 rows up, whatever it was. Pretty high up there. But he's right. The crowd was not... I didn't think the crowd
The hell's going on?
It wasn't... The crowd was full.
Why?
And it was fine. But it was just like...
It wasn't rabid.
It wasn't a Rangers-Islanders crowd.
Well, what's going on?
Did you get Noah Hoff is back there talking? I don't know. I couldn't answer that.
So you felt that too?
Yes, I did. I felt
the same thing.
Felt like a regular season game.
I maybe it was because of the way that we were angled that we couldn't really hear the crowd noise a lot. But
it was so high up.
The acoustics of the blue seats
I've sat up there before, even higher, and you could hear everything. So
I've been on the bridge, and it just you could hear like the place shake.
Hey, Rangers. Third least popular tenant in the garden.
Yeah,
it's the Johnnies, look at you. It's the Knicks, it's the Rangers.
By the way, you'll like this real quick. A side note, my nephew, usually we go, I try to get him good seats when we go to the game, whatever.
Yeah.
We're up there last time, hey, this is where the real fans sit. You know, it's a good view of the game, whatever. You might hear some things up here. And he comes back, it just goes to show you, he comes back with a water and a popcorn. His dad bought him. He's like, what am I supposed to do with my water? No cup holders up here, son. Put it on the floor. You hold it. Cheer one hand, hold it with the other hand. But no cup holders up here. It was a good lesson for the youngster.
Yeah, thanks for the hookup, Mitch.
There you go.
All right, we got to get to the Garden. I know even for a Knicks game, we haven't done that
yet. I mean, I've been to the Garden a lot this year. I've not been to a Rangers game in a while, though. I really have not been.
Well, you turned down the invite.
I'm not a huge hockey fan. I turned it down because I had a coach.
Knicks, maybe we do a Knicks game.
I had a coach a playoff game.
I get it.
You know what matters to me.
How'd you do in a game?
They won. Boys played well. Championship Wednesday.
Another ring.
A tough matchup.
Another ring coming for.
No,
Coach
we don't.
BT.
We wouldn't buy rings for this. But it's Wednesday's going to be tough. We got to play. If we play well, we got to play well.
BT,
take nothing for granted.
BT and Sal on the Fan 888-808-1019. More of your calls when we come back.
When this happened, you talk about it on the Fan.
3-2 swung on a pop foul back here.
Ow!
Hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Got it on the Fan in New York. Hello, everybody. Happy Monday night. We got another 5-hour KM to AM in store. We'll do this tonight. We'll do this Wednesday. We'll do this Friday. And then some version of a Sunday night show as well. I'm excited for this week. Thanks for joining us. Dial 888-808-1019 if you'd like to get involved with any conversations that we'll have. And there's plenty to unpack from the weekend. There's a lot to talk about. I mean, I had a call up. Was it Joan from somewhere, Paulie? Get Joan back on the line so she can be first. I wanted to talk about what she wanted to talk about. I'm in here watching the Mets and Yankees back and forth, kind of flipping from SNY to Yes Network. And here we go. It's March. Play me some future March Madness. Let's get ready for the good times, the March Madness basketball, the start of the baseball season, getting closer to the draft, and the playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs and the NBA playoffs. But, you know, as I'm watching these spring training games and I'm thinking about myself, I'll be down there in exactly 2 weeks, March 17th that week. I won't be on air. I'll be down in Tampa, and then 10 days after is opening day, and I'm already making plans and talking to people and setting some things up for opening day. And, you know, I'm a fan of the Yankees culture. I'm a fan of the Yankees environment around Yankee Stadium. So no matter what happens with the team, I'll be there. Shout out to Jeezy from the Bleacher Creatures. She said, we never left, right? Baseball is back in New York. Nah, we never left. We're there no matter who is in the starting lineup or rotation or bullpen. The Yankees culture of fans, the fan base, the strongest fan base in the world, we'll be there, and I'm excited for that. Nothing can break my stride on that. Nothing can worry me on that. But obviously, there's some concern for this 2025 New York Yankees team. 888-808-1019, we may share the same concerns. I mean, how could you not, right? Like, it's March 3rd. You've already heard about Giancarlo Stanton, his elbows, the IL, we'll talk about it more, but he's out. And Luis Gil, obviously, if it bleeds, it leads. Let's start with that. Luis Gil, you get the news today
that he's going to be shut down with a lat strain. You get the news today that Luis Gil, I don't like everybody trying to guess or pretend they know when he's going to, none of us know. He's going to be shut down. Let's just say that. 6 weeks until he can throw. So with that being said, you're down a guy in the rotation. And I know it's spring training. You can't read too much into it. But over the weekend, I did watch Marcus Stroman start. And coincidentally enough, spring training kicked off with Marcus Stroman saying, I'm a starter. I'm not going to the bullpen. And yeah, we can't afford to put you in the bullpen. And also, the Yankees didn't trade him. So now, I mean, he's in there. And his first start after the news of Luis Gil getting an MRI, before we actually knew the news that we got today, not exactly what you want. Keith, it's spring training. It's exhibition. Obviously, I know that. But, man, he left some pitches over the plate for Austin Riley, for Matt Olson. Back-to-back and a belly-to-belly, they rocked him. Those are professional hitters. They're going to mash, spring training or not. And then, man, that foul territory play where the ball dropped and he slipped. It looked like he called off Austin Wells. He doesn't make that play. And then the next pitch he throws to Jerks and Profar, Profar lines one off the wall. And you're kind of just like, how did we end up here? You didn't see Marcus pitch in the second half of the year. All offseason you heard that he would be traded, and he was not. And now you're looking at this Yankees team where many of us said that the rotation was the strength, that the pitching depth was the strength, and you might end up seeing Will Warren. You might end up seeing Carlos Carrasco, 888-808-1019, as I know some Mets fans may chuckle at that. Jose Quintana actually signed today. And whether you care or not as a Mets fan, Yankee fan, he's off the table. One-year deal with the Milwaukee Brewers. And that shows you that David Stearns is good. He's set. Tells you all you need to know right there. They have internal options. They have internal depth. But you know what? As I look at the Mets lineup and the clips that are coming out of the Mets spring training, they're going to hit. They have a ton of hitters. Jose Siri's hitting the ball a mile. Like, they've got him at the nine spot. They've got a bunch of hitters. They're going to hit. They're not so much worried about who's going to pitch for them, who's going to pitch against them. So, yeah, Mets fans ride high on Juan Soto and, I mean, even Brett Beatty and, you know, the lineup you have. Mets fans, we don't need to concern ourselves with you. I feel like there's a lot of back and forth about, oh, what's this guy saying? And Juan Soto, whatever. Like, I could care less what Aaron Judge has to say if it's, like, a shot at Juan Soto. I don't think it is. Because we got to move on from that. And what I'm saying here is, like, losing Juan Soto, that's in the past. That's far in the rear view. And as the Yankees drive from Tampa, Florida, back up to New York for opening day, there are a bunch of other obstacles in the way. Juan Soto's the least of our worries now, right? They already pivoted. And I've said this line so many times in the last 2 weeks. They pivoted, and they pivoted well. But Brian Cashman made all of those moves, and the Yankees still have this many holes. You made all of these moves to still have this many holes. So what does that mean? You did your job, but you didn't finish the job. 888-808-1019. The rotation is not a strength anymore. I know it's just spring training, but have you seen Carlos Rodon? Do you ever feel confident that he's going to dominate? Okay, yeah, so throw the spring training numbers out. He's just going to be good to go. Whatever. Clark Schmidt, a cranky back. He's got to get going. How cranky is this bat? Is it like six-month-old cranky or terrible twos cranky? Like, I don't know. There's a difference. And as I'm looking at this Yankees team now, you don't have Stanton at DH. Your third base situation, I just said, all right, it is what it is. You got to compete in camp, and that's what training camp is for. With these holes in the team, someone will rise. Multiple guys will get an opportunity to compete and rise to fill these holes, because that's what the Yankees are doing right now. That's what the Yankees are doing right now. They're going to tell you, we got McDonald's at home, and we're not going out to eat anywhere until the deadline. 888-808-1019. They're going to tell you they have enough depth, they have enough internal options, they're not spending anymore, because $307 million, $308 million should be enough to compete, right? You should be able to build a good enough team to win. There's no correlation that the Dodgers have spent all of this money in the last two offseasons. They're the reigning champs and the favorites to win it again by a lot. There's no correlation that the All-Stars, MVPs, superstar team that they put together, that they spent money and obviously deferred a bunch. There's no correlation to that. They got to do it. But you know what? I'm tired of hearing, oh, the AL is weak. Yeah, the AL is weak, or was weak, right? All we can go off of is 2024. It is 2025. Last year is over. So stop saying that the American League is weak. It's going to be a cakewalk for the Yankees, because I think that this is going to be one of their tougher roads in a while. 888-808-1019. Why? Because you lose the World Series. You lose Juan Soto. And it's not just Juan Soto, right? You lose Stanton. You lose Gleyber Torres, who you relied on. I mean, there are Yankee fans calling for Alex Verdugo to come back. No. They don't want to spend any money. Don't double back and spend money on what you wasted money on. As I see Dom Smith with another hit. Mets fans, laugh at that. Like, Dom Smith is an actual option. He is a realistic option at DH, on the bench. And that's another thing with the Yankees, dude. Like, they never have a bench. Made all of these moves to still have all of these holes. But don't panic. We're going to enjoy our time. We're going to crack our beers. We're going to be out. Opening day doesn't start until 3:05. Whole world will be watching. Joe Buck on the call on Fox Sports. It'll be a great time until it's not. Until it's freezing cold. It's raining. Games get delayed. Games get postponed. And we're into a season where, Judgy, it's on you, Cap. You can't start off slow this year. You absolutely cannot. I don't care about, oh, well, you know, guys that wanted to be here, and if you want to be here, you'd shave. No. Like, all of that, throw that away. The whole thing about being here in New York with the Yankees is you have a chance to compete for a championship every single year. And coming off of losing in the Fall Classic the way that you did, and specifically Judge with the drop pop-up and the strikeouts, Cap, it is on you, buddy. Can't have a slow April. There's a lot to prove, right? Judge has to carry this team, because I don't know how Paul Goldschmidt's going to play in a new stadium his first month or two. I don't know if Cody Bellinger's swing, I think it will, and it looks good in spring, but I don't know if that's going to change going from 75 degrees in Tampa to 40 degrees in the Bronx. And as much as we're relying on guys to play to, you know, the back of their baseball card, like a Belly, like a Goldschmidt, we're really relying on young guys to take a step forward. Austin Wells is your everyday catcher, and I know he can hit, but he's got to do it consistently. Anthony Volpe, this is a huge year for him. Huge year. Because you got to quiet some of the skeptics in your own fan base, kid. We believe in you. We saw what you did late in the year in the postseason, but that's got to be all the time. That's got to be all the time. You're not the captain of the Yankees, but you're the shortstop, and we need your bat. We need you to absolutely hit consistently, and then here we go. You know, a lot will be on Judge going back to his true position. Well, speaking of true positions, I see the lineup tonight, and it goes back to a take I had last week. I said, let me just see something. Can we just see something, right? There's a guy that you acquired that plays multiple positions. And the first thing he told Aaron Boone was, play me anywhere. Bat me anywhere in the lineup. I would say, great. We are. We're going to move you around. So let me just see something, right? Let me see Belly in left field. He's in left field tonight. Let me see Jason Dominguez in spring training. You don't have to be married to it, because it seems like you're married to him being the left fielder. Let me just see him play his true position. Let me see him go back to center field, catch a few fly balls and have some confidence, right, given back to him. Let me just see it. Well, I also suggested that Trent Grisham be put in left field, because what allegiance do you have to Trent Grisham? For what reason do you have to make Trent Grisham comfortable and play him at his true position besides he's a world-class defender? I brought up multiple times last year where I saw him not look world-class. I know it's baseball, it's tough. But, like, what is Trent Grisham to the future of the Yankees? Today, tomorrow, forever. As the Yankees score another run. You know what? Pass ball. Our old pal. We're going to need a bunch of pass balls this year. 888-808-1019. So the Yankees are experimenting with Cody Bellinger. Now we've seen him at every position in the outfield. And if it's me, like, I'm trying all of these guys, except for Judge. They all can rotate between left and center. And Dominguez looked better yesterday, but, like, we don't have to be stuck on, he's the left fielder, he's got to be the left fielder, this is how you got to play this, he's the left fielder, there's better defense in center. I haven't seen his defense in center field. I've seen his defense in left field. It's shaky. I don't believe in 24 days he's just going to be solid. I just think that's such a short amount of time to throw this kid into the fire. Maybe build his confidence up a little bit. Trent Grisham has played, I think, 17 games in his career in left field. He's a veteran. Cody Bellinger has more than that. I think twice as much as that. I was looking it up last week. I think like 39 games in left field. Play him in left field. He's a veteran. His confidence is not going to be shaken. And you know what? These aren't guys that the Yankees passed on trades for, right? How many trades did they pass on trading Jason Dominguez? Who knows? And don't call me tonight and tell me that the Yankees should have traded Luis Gil for Kyle Tucker. It was never going down. Crane and Brown, between the two of them, they were not ever going to trade Kyle Tucker to the Yankees. So can we not do that tonight? 888-808-1019. We just wait. There are a lot of holes. There are a lot of issues. DJ LeMahieu is cooked. Don't mention him. Don't mention him. DJ, we wish you well, but that's another thing. The Yankees making all of these moves and then telling us that, like, DJ is healthy. Well, now he's not. Oh, DJ's healthy. When he's healthy, he's, you know, there's a really good hitter in there. Stop it. It's not the software. It's the hardware. He's old machinery. The robot, the automatic with runners in scoring position robot that we used to see in 2019, 2020. Yeah, he's fried. Enough is enough. He already lacks power, and he's not fast, and he's not athletic. This calf injury is going to help, or it's not going to help anything. It's going to hurt his fielding, his running. It's just, if he's already, his first game back, his first appearance, trying to ramp up, he has to get shut down, and he's getting that checked out. So the Yankees have issues. The rotation, we don't know about Clark Schmidt. He's got to ramp up and be ready to go. Carlos Rodon is a question mark. And Marcus Stroman, I mean, they didn't use him all of the second half of last year for the most part. And now you're going to ask him to be a part of the starting rotation after all the rumors that you're going to trade him. It's not great there. And then obviously the lineup is not a strength either, with how many guys you need to either turn back the clock or take a step forward. And then they just got to gel and come together, right? We just are hoping that Jazz Chisholm in his first full year as a Yankee is ready to go. We're just assuming that Aaron Judge is going to be the MVP that he already is most of the time, except for the beginning of the year and the end of the year last year. Like, there's a few holes with this Yankees team. So we'll talk about it. 888-808-1019. But hey, don't let that stop you from taking your trip down there like me. Don't let that stop you from booking your tickets, because it's a long road. It's a long season. They'll have to adjust, and if they adjust, they'll make trades. But as a fan, right, you have the right to be a little bit upset. You have the right to be a little concerned. You have the right to point the finger at the organization and say, coming off a World Series, right, if this is supposed to be a comeback story, right, if there's supposed to be all of this hype and this clear path in the American League, why didn't you stack the deck? Why didn't you go hard? Why didn't you leave no stone unturned? Because look where we are just 3 weeks in to spring training. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Call us up. We'll be right back.
Should line up his lineup in a little bit, but today Austin Wells led off. Do you realize the Yankees, who before being the Yankees were the New York Highlanders, they've been around for a very long time, very, very, very long time, in their long, illustrious history, have never, the key word here is never.
Never?
Never had a catcher lead off for them in a regular season game.
Wow.
Not one time. And I was like, there's no way this is true. So I spent way too much time this morning on Baseball Reference trying to prove it wrong. But it's not wrong.
Okay.
Thurman Munson may have batted second a few times, never led off. Now, most teams don't lead off their catcher. It's a rarity. In fact, when I think of a catcher leading off, I think of Jason Kendall, of all people, from many years ago. So it is a rarity. But you would think one time, or maybe a couple of times. So if Austin Wells leads off at any point this season, and we talked about this not too long ago when we were going through all the different leadoff options, we mentioned Austin Wells' name, and all you guys were like, oh, I see him, potentially. Weren't hating it, weren't loving it. It was just like, okay, it's an interesting name. But if it happens during the regular season, it would make New York Yankee history. And anytime you make New York Yankee history, that's badass because they've been around for 1,000 years.
That is crazy.
That is.
Isn't that crazy?
You think it's happening?
Yes, I think that we've gotten to the point this far in spring training where it's beyond consideration at this point.
Oh, I'll tell you why it's going to happen. Because I think Boone is going to try so many different things with his order.
So when we sat here about 3 weeks ago, we went through all the different names. Every name we talked about will eventually get a chance to lead off. In fact, Tommy was the outlier, because then we ended up predicting who's going to lead off the most, which was a fun little game. And Loogie said Paul Goldschmidt, which was very out of the box. And I said to Tommy, I said, "Ah, Tommy, you know I love Goldie, but he won't even lead off one time. The more I think about it, he will lead off one time." He won't do it all the time, but it'll happen once.
They don't have a leadoff hitter, and they're considering their catcher leading off. Goldie's getting at least one at-bat as the leadoff hitter this year.
And you know what's crazy? If Goldie is Goldie, which means he's Goldie, it's not crazy to have a guy with a 370 on base lead off, which he's done, by the way.
And he, even at 37, he could still swipe 10 bags. So, I mean, he's got a little speed.
He was always, I can't confirm that because he is a little bit older, but back in the day, Goldie would sneakily steal bases. Like, if you look at some of his stolen base numbers, he had a 30 stolen base season. True story. Now, and even last year, he had 11.
Yeah.
Which is kind of amazing for a guy who I don't think is fast, is just such a good base runner.
He's savvy. Yeah, great for fantasy baseball, too, by the way.
.381 career on base percentage.
Look, when Goldie's Jeff Bagwell.
Let's go to, is it Lois in New Jersey? Lois?
Yes, it is. 29. That's what I called to tell you.
29. Very solid number.
That is a good one.
Thank you very much for picking up the phone and just wanting to say her state number. Why, did you think she meant something else, Sean?
Did you think she meant something else?
What do you think I thought she meant?
All I know is the two first female callers we got today.
Disrespecting this lady.
The first two female callers gave us the states.
Lovely ladies that are calling us, and you're disrespecting them with your dirty ass.
Somebody
mind,
on the Tappan Zee Bridge was thinking it, who wasn't listening yesterday. By the way, I have my number. I wrote it out here.
The amount of states Tommy Lugauer has visited, I'm going to guess 12.
Sean's looking. Are you really like a 3-year-old?
To be fair, I want to make sure that he's listing states and not cities, and I can already
see. Oh, shut up. If I list a city, then just count it as a state.
I can already see he's messed up one.
Really? What city did he list?
Oh, I got it. All right, fine.
But what city did he list as a state?
That wasn't the one.
Then I did just a couple of
bad ones. Tell us, Sean?
I wrote, I'll cop to it, or do you want to do it, Sean?
He wrote the word Nashville down as a state. That's the one he crossed out. The other one I'm seeing, which is amazing because we've already had the on-air conversation, he wrote down D.C.,
Yeah,
that's what we're counting that.
We are counting it.
We're counting it as a district he went to, yes. So what's your total? Tiki, what do you think for Tommy?
8.
Wow, even lower than me.
So 12, 8, Sean.
13.
You guys were all on the low end.
Really?
18.
18? Oh, okay.
I'm impressed, Loogie. You've traveled more than I thought you would have.
Traveled more, and I think why my number's a little bit lower than everybody here, up until, I guess, recently here, I've been what I call a have-not in the business, which means I never traveled as part of my job. I was always back at the shop, as Beningo would say.
But you know what? I was thinking about that, too, because I started listing why I was in each state. There is no state besides Indiana. Okay, Indiana's the one state. I raise my hand. I admit it. That is the only state I went to because of this job. Every other state was just, I was visiting, maybe I was hooking up with somebody, maybe. Like, there's various reasons. Indiana is the one state where the only time I was there were for 2 Jet playoff games and multiple Super Bowls and a Final Four. Like, I was never in Indiana in which it wasn't job-related.
Not California?
I went to California many times.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, no. I've been to California many times. Arizona, same thing. Yeah. So that's the only state?
I think I made a mistake. I have only been to 40 because I counted Idaho, but I haven't been in Idaho. I was in Yellowstone, and I knew I crossed the border when I was in Yellowstone Park, but I think it was Montana, Wyoming, not Idaho's border.
Got to be careful with that.
Yeah. I got you, bro. I'm Idaho.
The next thing we got to figure out is, between the four of us, do we get to 50?
Mm. Yeah, I see what you mean. Did we represent every 50, all the states?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would say no.
I'm the only one on the show who's been to Hawaii, not for a Pro Bowl.
So you've been to Hawaii.
But nobody's been to Alaska.
No one's been to Alaska. Yeah, Alaska's the one the one that we miss. Let's go to Scott in Westfield, New Jersey. What's up, Scott?
38.
It's a damn good number right there.
It is.
Thank you very much. Mario's in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Hey, how you doing? Great show as always, guys.
Appreciate it. What's up, man?
Hey, Tiki, you got to put on your judge robe now. I want time for some guys to take L's.
All right.
Let me bring something up over here.
Let's hear it.
Okay. We have opinions, and then we have facts. So opinions have to base on some facts. Now, I've heard many a times you guys saying on the air, both Sean and you also, Evan,
yeah,
that Judge is injury prone. Now, I looked at the last 4 years, which is a good sample size. Wouldn't you agree? 4 years is a pretty decent sample size. He's averaged 142 games the last 4 years. That's 88% of the games. And you had said one time, Evan, that he's hurt more than Soto. In the last 4 years, Soto's averaged 118 games. That's 73%.
That's not true.
You are factually wrong. You take an L.
I think you're counting the pandemic year.
Well, first of all, Juan Soto has not averaged 118 games in a season.
Well, no, if you count 60, if you put 60 in there and still divide it by what would be.
Well, that doesn't count. Like, let me just show you how wrong he is real quick. Juan Soto in 21, 151 games. In 2022, 153 games. In 2023, 162 games. That's every game. And then last year, 157. So you're wrong. And I think where Mario got confused with his numbers is that in 2022, he played for two different teams. So he probably took the 50 games he played with San Diego and the 100 games he played with Washington and counted that
as
a full season.
Or he added 2020 and counted it as a full season.
Even then, it wouldn't be the case. He's very wrong. Juan Soto plays all the time. So that let's just throw that out. Now, as far as Judge, because I think that's a much more interesting point and a fair point that he made about Aaron Judge.
Yeah, he kind of shaded the numbers to favor himself, the more I'm looking at this.
Are we talking about Judge now?
Judge,
yes. Because the Soto thing we already proved, he was just wrong.
Look, playing 158 games last year and 157 in 2022 help you, Ellenberg? Dude, 2023 missed a third of the season.
No, no, but wait a second. Here's where it's complicated, because I don't think Mario's wrong with this point, right, nor are you. If you look at the last 4 years, which is what he did, three of the 4 years, Aaron Judge has been healthy. There's
right.
no disputing that.
Right.
He played 148 games in 21. He played 157 games in 22. 23 was a lost year, we admit it. 24, he played 158
right.
games. But if you include 2020, and even in the pandemic, remember, he would have missed more of that season.
That's exactly the problem. Yeah, he
and
would have been
if you include 2019 and you include 2018, right. now you're talking about a guy who has shown injury prone. So it depends on what
I think
sample
the problem,
size in years you want to look at.
I think the problem is when you say injury prone, it means he gets hurt like Giancarlo Stanton gets hurt.
All right, that's a different answer. He's not that.
But he's not that. He had a freak injury.
I agree.
In L.A. And
by the way, I'd argue even the injury in 2020 was a freak injury because
right.
that injury was related to him making a diving catch a year earlier.
Yes.
And injuring, I think it was his ribs.
Right. And it was misdiagnosed or
right.
not diagnosed properly, which led to him missing time the following season. Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So he's not injury prone. He's been injured a good deal, but he's not injury prone. Like when I hear somebody say injury prone, in my mind it clicks bad cells to me. Like there were certain guys that I played with, they were just always hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Whatever happened, they'd find a way to get hurt. And I remember asking Ronnie Barnes this. He's like, "Yeah, they're just bad cells." He was joking.
Right, right.
But in my mind, that sticks. Like, some people just are injury prone.
I think that's very fair.
And that's not Aaron Judge to me.
Over the last 5 years, which is a big sample size, he's had 2 years in which he's missed a big amount of time due to injuries. And both of those injuries were absolutely fluky. I get that. But I think that what Mario did is you're being selective. In the last 4 years, Aaron Judge has been mostly healthy. But if you go to year five and year six, he missed a lot of time. The Juan Soto thing, he screwed up. And I know how he screwed up. Because when you go to Baseball Reference and you see games played and you see 50, you're like, wow, he missed the whole season. No, he played 50 games for that team because he got traded in the middle of the season. I knock on wood when I say this, and now I got to be careful because there is no wood here. And the last time I knocked on wood, Sean Manaea got hurt. So can I use my head? Does that count as
that
wood?
That works.
Okay.
Your head is always wooden when you're trying to find luck.
We're talking about above his neck.
Yes. That's what I'm knocking right now.
He's hitting his forehead.
Oh, I got a headache now.
If you look at Will Warren right now, last year it was every time he pitched, he was pretty bad. It was tough to watch him, right? They had a handful of spot starts for him, and it was tough to watch. Will Warren was not very good. If you look at him in spring, and I know it's just spring numbers, right? But let's be fair, I've praised, and every Met fan has for sure, and I've praised him too. I mean, what we've seen, even just in one start, what we saw from Peterson, obviously Clay Holmes has looked great all spring. It's not nothing, because it's not just success. It's not just, oh, he's thrown three innings. You look at his numbers, his fastball is up. The movement on all of his pitches are up. He is the absolute, I know Lombard and obviously Spencer Jones, but the talk of spring training for the New York Yankees is Will Warren. The stuff is jumping off the page. Every metric you look at, he's getting more movement on his slider. His changeup is a completely different pitch than it was last year. Through three starts in his spring, he has been unbelievable. And the stuff is great. I don't want to see Marcus Stroman unless I need to see Marcus Stroman. And I know that he's here, and I know that he'll be unhappy. Too bad. I'm still looking to move him. I know that's maybe unlikely, especially when guys like Jose, when guys like Quintana are getting $4 million, which I still don't understand why the Mets weren't willing to give him $4 million. I don't care about the 40-man roster spot, and I certainly don't care about the luxury tax, and I know they're paying double for $9 million. Right? What do you get, $4.5 million? For $9 bucks, you don't want to sign Jose Quintana? When you've got Manaea and Montas injured, and he pitched well for you last year, including down the stretch of the season, you'd rather, you know, go get Griffin Canning? You'd rather have him be making starts this year? And he pretty much got, that would be the same money you paid Griffin Canning. Or he got this, rather, he got the same money as Griffin Canning got. You could have signed Quintana for this contract earlier. Now, I'm sure Quintana maybe had higher hopes up until now that we're in the middle of spring training and took a lesser contract, but I mean, I think it is fair to question a little bit. Now, we have to see how it plays out, but I do think it's fair to question a little bit of the idea of running to go pay Montas $34 million and going to get Griffin Canning when ultimately, I know, who knows what they could have got him for earlier in the offseason, but Quintana, who's done it for you, left-handed veteran starter, who's had a better career than Griffin Canning and has been more reliable over the last handful of years than Frankie Montas, got $4 million. And then back to the Yankees, if there are pitchers still out there, and I don't know how many more there are, there's some, but if there are starting pitchers out there who you can get who are every bit as good, if not better, than Marcus Stroman for $4 million, who the hell's going to want to take them off their hands? But I'm still looking to shop Stroman, and even if I don't trade Stroman, you're looking to replace Luis Hill, right? And here's my main point about this and the rotation that the Yankees have right now. I think the rotation is really damn good. And they've got two guys at the top who are ace pitchers, right? We know what Gerrit Cole is. And Max Fried, when healthy, which has been the issue, and hopefully he stays healthy. But Max Fried, when healthy, he's got the best ERA in baseball since 2020. Like, these are two legitimate top of the rotation pitchers at the top. Like, they've got two aces. I think Clark Schmidt is very reliable, and he's going to give you 5-6 innings, 2 or 3 runs on almost a start-by-start basis. And I do think Carlos Rodon, although I don't trust him in a big game necessarily, and he's extremely overpaid for what I'm about to say he'll give you. But as a number three starter, he's going to be a guy who wins you 15 games and pitches to a 3.5 ERA. Not good enough for the money he gets paid, but considering where he is in the rotation, I'll sign for that. So to me, the question is, I know you cause an issue with Marcus Stroman. I understand that. He's going to be extremely unhappy if now he's not even the sixth starter on this team after the injury to Luis Hill. But I feel confident enough in this rotation. I guess there's two ways to look at it. But I feel confident enough in this Yankee rotation where after I lose Luis Hill, who I was hoping had a chance to be special, right? Coming off a rookie of the year, how well he pitched and how dominant he was at the start of the season last year, and you're hoping that he could really transition right back into that and be someone who's the fourth. Yeah, sure, he's technically the fourth pitcher in the rotation, but has the stuff and the ability to be a front-end starter. Marcus Stroman isn't that. So on one way, you could say, hey, look, I feel really good about the top of the rotation. I feel pretty good about the rotation overall. I love the bullpen as well. Why not just be safe? Just be safe. Will Warren has options. I can send Will Warren down. I could do whatever with Will Warren. He'll live with being the long man if that's what we decide to keep him on the Major League roster. I don't want to make waves with Marcus Stroman. Hell, I'll even throw him out there and, you know, maybe he pitches well at the start of the season and an injury happens and then I can move him. Or whatever the case may be. Let's just go play it safe. Stroman's been a reliable starter in this league. I know what I'm going to get for him. It's not overly good, but I know what I'm going to get for him. I know how many innings I'm going to get out of him. Like, I'll be safe there. Or you could look at it and say, you know what? This rotation's good enough. I can take a risk. And what's the risk? To start the season with a hot young pitcher who has been at the top of your pitching prospects for a little bit, who was your sixth man last year who wasn't successful in it but has looked like a completely different pitcher this year. Why not throw him in the mix and take a chance that he gives you what Michael King gave you, what you were hoping Luis Gil was going to give you? What if he comes in and is dominant? Like, I'd rather, like, it's either you feel really good about the top of the rotation, so I'll live with the Marcus Stroman, and I know he's steady. Or the rotation's so good, I'll take a chance. What's the worst thing that happens? Well, Warren sucks. Then I send him down. I don't want to turn away the possibility of being able to replace Luis Gil with another pitcher who right now is throwing great stuff. It's spring training. I can't put too much into it. I'm not trying to tell you I know he's going to go be Michael King, or I know he's going to give you what Luis Gil gave you in April and May last year. I don't know anything. What I do know is that Marcus Stroman is Marcus Stroman. I do know that. And I do know he's not going to turn any heads, and I do know he's not going to, you know, replace what Luis Gil could have been. I'd rather, with the rotation in the position it's in, take a chance. Now, for all the reasons I gave you, I don't think they're going to do that. He has options. Stroman does not. They're still trying to move Stroman. Maybe this is a showcase at the start of the year. He's been their guy. It's going to cause major problems with him. I don't know, in that clubhouse, to try and move him to the bullpen as you start Will Warren is going to cause a problem with Marcus Stroman that you probably don't need right now. So I don't expect it, but he is the talk of spring. He looks great. And for me, that's as I'm trying to be dynamic, right? Because we know what the lineup is. And we'll see. I have faith that the lineup's going to be better than everybody's telling you. I do. I think Volpe's going to have a big year. I could be wrong, but I do. I think Goldschmidt is going to give you a bounce-back year where he's going to be, at the very least, an average Major League Baseball player. I think he's going to have a 7 to 720 OPS and give you some moments. He had a home run in the game yesterday. I think he can be a pretty good player for them. I think a full year of Jazz, whether it's at the top of the lineup, and there's a discussion about what's going on at the top of the lineup as well, as we'll get to a little bit in the show, as a very unlikely candidate has emerged as someone who could hit leadoff for the New York Yankees. And we'll get to that at 888-808-1019. But we know the lineup has its flaws. I think Bellinger can have a big year. All those things are possibilities. They can go one way or the other. I tend to lean towards most of them can go slightly positive. But the lineup's not going to be dynamic. It's not going to have that middle of the order it had last year. It's probably not going to lead the American League in runs. It's not going to knock your socks off and average 5 runs a game as last year's lineup did for most of the year. Like, we know what it is. And this team right now is heavily reliant on the rotation and the bullpen, which, as we saw I think it was his first action, we saw the airbender and how devastating that was against Philadelphia yesterday from Devin Williams. I think the pitching is excellent. But to me, you have an opportunity with that rotation to go out there and take a chance on a young kid that he's dynamic and he found himself in the offseason and in spring training. And if the lineup is just going to be okay and maybe a little bit more well-rounded but not as dynamic or explosive as the middle of the order was with obviously Judge and Soto, why not take the opportunity to see if you can find a dynamic pitcher and get back to that dynamic rotation you were hoping with Luis Gil? Because that's how good he's looked. It's 3 spring training starts. It's what? Not even 7 full innings? I'm not trying to tell you I know what Will Warren's going to be, but I know what Marcus Stroman is. already know. Why not take a chance on putting in a pitcher who's got an opportunity to go out there and really miss bats and be a force in that rotation as opposed to just the guy eating up innings, which I'm afraid of how many innings he'll eat up anyway, because if he hits 140, I got to pay him $18 million next year. Now, if Stroman's great, I don't care. It's about winning this year. If Stroman's great all year, then I'll gladly pay the $18 million next year. But what are the odds of that? How many years has Marcus Stroman put together a good year? When's the last time he's put a full season together? I don't see any harm in seeing what you got with this young kid, Warren. And if it doesn't work, then you go to Stroman. And it depends. That's a question for Brian Cashman, too. What has the discussions been on Stroman? Is anybody even considering it? We heard that they made an offer to the San Francisco Giants that they turned down. Like, is anyone, are you even getting nibbles on the idea? How much money is the owner willing to eat in a trade? Like, where is the Marcus Stroman trade at all? And if the idea is, hey, listen, I've gotten some bites, who knows what happens? Let's pitch him and showcase him and see if he can get off to the same kind of start he got off to last year, and then maybe you can move him. Then I suppose it makes more sense. But if it's just ice cold and nobody wants to pay and the owner's like, I'm not eating anything more than maybe $2 or $3 million off that contract and it's just not going to happen, then who cares? Go out there and throw the best rotation you can. And I think that as of right now, it's got Will Warren in it. I want the best team.